This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Everybody, I hope that you think of things today that you're grateful for, because it has been a rough 2020. But I still say there are silver linings all over the place. And my silver lining is you, this audience. Tremendous. Always emailing me, lifting me up, and lifting other people up as well. And just what we're able to do here on this show, especially so remotely. But it works. I'm grateful for all of the crew at GCN that make this show possible, Alex, Eric with his special Sunday nights, but of course Nathan too. Nathan, and Alex really making the controls move, bringing the sound your way through the little box in the sky, right? That's what I think it is. It's a little box in the sky. Coming up, Irene Prosper. Also, Peter Pavlo will join us. And Misty Long joins us, too, as well. You heard from, if you didn't catch Misty last week, I decided this is a perfect time, Thanksgiving, because of what she's been through and how grateful she is still yet, having gone through really hell and back. So if you haven't heard her story, it's worth listening to hear Misty's story. There's absolutely no question about it. And in the meantime, you know, I look at what we've been able to do, especially during this pandemic, bring so many people to you from so many other places. And, you know, lots of people from England and Australia. And I think it's been exciting to be able to tell their tales that they've weaved, whether it's novels, whether it's kind of a little autobiography, if you will, or whatever it is they're writing about. It's like Peter Pavlou, his book is about poetry, you know, the poetry that he's written about for a decade plus. And, you know, he said an interesting thing off air, that he likes to take poetry and he likes placing poetry on beautiful backgrounds and images for weddings and anniversaries and graduations and baptisms and Valentine's and all kinds of other themes. And his book is really, it really, really is quite lovely to go through. And his love for English literature enabled him to, as he said, write beautiful poetry, and he got the Editor's Choice Award for Outstanding Achievement in Poetry from Poetry.com. So, great conversation with Pete. It's one that you do not want to miss, and it's perfect for Thanksgiving. And as I said, when you think of Thanksgiving, what is it about Thanksgiving that makes us, I think makes us think about being grateful? Now, what's the true meaning of Thanksgiving? It's a national holiday in the United States and Canada, and it celebrates the harvest and whatever the blessings are of the past year. But it's turned into other things, parades, football games, but definitely family and spending time with family. And why is it such an important holiday? Because it's a holiday where we celebrate, guess what? Gratitude! And gratitude is the name of the game, people. If you want to feel better, especially when you're tired of the Zoom doom, if you're working from home, or your job, you got cut out and you're looking for a job, it is finding that gratitude. And that's where Thanksgiving comes from. That's the origin of it. In 1621, it was the idea of the celebration of the family, the things to be grateful for. And I like it because it feeds into the whole holiday season. You know, again, what are you grateful for? I have a journal coming out in a couple of weeks. It's called the Girlfriend's Gratitude Journal, because it made me realize that there are people that I'm so grateful for that helped to push me in the right direction. And the journaling, the idea of journaling your ideas out, which I've got too many journals. Picture this for a second. Journals filled with who knows what. I have seen some of them, but they go back for decades, and somehow I've managed to drag them along on the journey, but just filled with gratitude, and that gratitude for the industry, for the opportunities that I eventually would eke out, and so many other things. I mean, really, I can't complain. And some of you, based on your emails, I'm just saying you can't complain either, right? Because we're doing okay. You know, we're hanging in there. It's like I was talking about this, I want to say last week a little bit, that there's a new study, an Oxford study, that is actually suggesting that video games can have a huge impact on a person's well-being. And I've seen that firsthand. So I think sometimes when people are playing video games, you have to be careful at yelling something out, because while the video game sales are booming because of the pandemic and whatnot, the fact is that this is helpful to some people who need to, who need to chill. The Oxford study basically spelled out, our findings show video games aren't necessarily bad for your health. There are other psychological factors which have significant effect on a person's well-being. So if it helps somebody who's struggling to play video games, I'm saying I'm all for it, right? How about you? Of course. Because if you feel better, that's okay. That's the idea. You don't want to turn into the zombie where that's all you do, because there's, we've seen the other side of that, the pendulum swinging wildly in the wrong direction. But I don't think it's a bad thing if it's helping the mental health of someone, calming them down. Because why? They're focused on the task at hand. And focusing on the task is the thing, I think, that makes the big difference. So I'm not shocked by, I'm not shocked hearing that. Let's put it that way. You know, one thing I miss about the pandemic is every once in a while I would go to a zoo, or I would go to an aquarium. And in our satellite facility in downtown Dallas, not too far in downtown Dallas, they've got an incredible aquarium. It's like no experience, the Dallas World Aquarium. It's not like what I'll call a regular aquarium. It is like being in a rainforest, I guess. That's the best way to describe it. And because for aquariums, a lot of times they're so tight inside, how with the new restrictions, how can you open an aquarium? Like Chicago's famous Shedd Aquarium, it has to stay closed through the new year, but they are producing virtual content because of the COVID-19 restrictions. And the stuff that they are putting out there is pretty incredible. There was a thing on the penguins I happened to see playing in the water, and where you can see them, where they're dancing around and then jumping into the they're in the waterfall and then jumping into the water. And it was, I think it was entertaining, and a lot of people are watching it. Of course, they have to be.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
Irene Prosper joins us this time around in Author's Corner, and she's written a book called Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor.
Growing up was fun. In those days, Montserrat was 39 square miles, a small Caribbean island owned by England. And then 1995, the volcano came and took a third of it. So it's a third of 39 that we are occupying now, but it's still unique and beautiful. Yeah, everybody look out for everybody else, and it's really like everybody's family.
And so it's interesting, growing up in Montserrat, and as you say, with so many siblings, there was a lot of love there, and there was something unique that you learned, and this carried through with the rest of your life based on what you and I talked about. So when you say Jesus is the ultimate counselor, what do you mean by that? Do you mean that when people are looking for answers, they look in all these other places?
Right. And you can go to every secular counselor or Christian counselor and look in for relief from whatever is ailing you or bothering you. But ultimately, you have to go to Jesus to get full recovery. Because whatever the counselors do is only for a while. Things might look up for a while, and then a couple of days, a day after, you go back to your same dark mode. But to Jesus, then Jesus counsels you, and then you go to him with your problems, and he counsels you and tells you what to do once you do it. You are free of that burden forever, as long as you continue to believe in him.
And why is that people have, in your opinion, everything that you've seen with the ups and downs of life, no matter how wealthy you are or how poor you are or anything in between, why do you think so many people, and I guess this is just a great question in general to throw out to everybody, why is it that people struggle so much with belief?
Well, a lot of it has to do with your upbringing, because where I'm from, there's hardly anybody that need counseling. I think the people are resilient and they deal with life and see life a different way. They don't feel so entitled. They feel like the harder you work, the better off you are. So if you have a problem, you get involved in your work, and it could be the work of a farmer. It could be a shepherd taking care of the flocks. They get involved in their work. And like when Hurricane Hugo in 1989, Hurricane Hugo did a lot of damage, and people just pick up themselves and rebuild. They got help from England, but they basically rebuild their houses from scratch. And if there's no electricity, they are not walking around and crying and mourning that, oh, I don't have any electricity for how many days. They find other ways because they know how to use the firewood and the charcoal and what they call hurricane lamps that withstand hurricanes, where you light your lamp at night and you can see. They don't really worry about, I can't get no cold water from the fridge and that kind of stuff and make it a burden. But I find here, as soon as the electricity go out, it's a big inconvenience. People are crying, people are complaining, and they're mourning. And so many people, I guess it's the different atmosphere around how you're raised. When we were being raised, our parents struggle to find ways and means to feed us, and they found means and means. They didn't have anything at their fingertips that they just go and take up or feel a sense of entitlement. You know, they have to provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner for their children. And they do that. And we didn't complain. We were happy. Whatever we got for breakfast, what we got for lunch, what we got for dinner, we were happy and satisfied. Because we knew that and saw how our parents were doing their best to provide for us. And I remember when I came here with my children, I used to get so upset. They opened the fridge and stand up and said, there's nothing in this fridge. And I'm saying, what do you mean? There's this, there's that, but it's because it's not what they want. It may say, there's nothing in this fridge. And when I was growing up, whatever your mother gives you, you're very happy. It could be mangoes, it could be fruit. Whatever you get, you are happy. And there was no homelessness. If anybody is out on the street, it's because they choose to, not because they have to. This is supposed to be one of the richest countries in the world, and there's so much hunger and homelessness. Where I grew up, that didn't happen. Because if you didn't have any food in your house to eat, your neighbor would never cook and not offer you something to eat. They used to call it hand wash hand. We shared whatever we have with our friends and family and neighbors.
Wow.
So life was a lot easier. My grandmother used to cook when she wake up in the morning until time to go to bed, and everybody passed. Say, hi, Aunt Guppy. And as soon as they say, Aunt, oh my, you have a plate of food in front of you. And, you know, I don't know how they made it, because they didn't have no job, bringing in no money. They didn't have an income, but they survived. And I think we were very blessed to have them. My grandmother and my aunt made sure that there was food in the house every day.
Yeah. I love that. Hand wash hand. Wow. One hand wash the other. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we're speaking to Dr. Irene Prosper, and her book is Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor. What do you hope that, and we've talked about it, what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
That Jesus is all. that they need. And when you have Jesus, everything else falls in place. And that you can go to him with your burdens, go to him with your cares. And he'll be there for you just like he was there for the woman at the well, the woman with the issue of blood, getting Lazarus, calling Lazarus out of the grave, bringing Jairus' daughter back from the dead, healing the lepers, opening the blind eyes, teaching the high priest in the temple about the things of God. I mean, there's so many examples of what he did then that he can still do for you now. You read the book, he can give you an avenue to go to Jesus.
Wow, so well said. It's interesting, especially in this time where we're in the holidays and people are talking about being grateful and thankful, and sometimes there is that lip service thing, and then sometimes it's much deeper than that. For you, was it fun to put this together? Maybe fun's the wrong word, but it sounds like a lifelong journey. Did you feel good about, and you've written several books, but did you feel good about this book when you saw it published?
Very good. Yeah. Very good about it. I feel very good about it. And I have heard from some of my readers what an inspiration it is to them.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely given us things to think about. And again, how one hand washes the other, I think that puts it into perspective. There's your hashtag for sure. You can pick up the book on Amazon. And Dr. Irene Prosper, thank you so much. Again, Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor, is the name of the book. Thanks to you, and thanks to everybody for listening.
Yes, thank everybody. And I'm hoping that you'll get a copy, especially coming up now. It's coming up to Thanksgiving. And people are mourning that they can't be together. Just thank God that you have life. Thank God for what you have. At least you're not among the 250,000. You are here. You can enjoy Thanksgiving, whether you have company or you don't have company. If you are alone, you can't. There's things that you can do. You can keep in touch. It's not like now, the days passed, there was no phone, there was no Zoom, there was no YouTube, there was nothing. No, you have ways to keep in touch.
Mm.
So you can keep in touch with your family. Read a good book. Read Jesus, the Ultimate Counselor, to guide you through the day. I am not having anybody... My daughter from Alabama wanted to come on with the children, and I tell her no. I said no, put it off, because it's very risky right now.
Right, it's very risky. So again, happy Thanksgiving to all, and thank you so much.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News.
I'm Kevin Messler. Americans have been traveling this Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued warnings against traveling over the holiday. While the overall number of travelers is still down, the TSA still reported a massive spike in the number of people passing through airports, the most since the pandemic began. Sunday is expected to be a busy day at the nation's airports. Will the gatherings cause a massive spike in coronavirus cases? Dr. Marty McCary is a physician and professor of public health at Johns Hopkins and a Fox News contributor.
Well, look, I think we're going to see a series of rolling increases. The trend is not a good trend. I don't think we have to worry about a mass spike with rationing at the doorsteps of our hospitals like we were concerned about back during the days of New York in March and April. But look, people need to take this thing very seriously.
McCary says 90,000 people are in the hospital at this time with COVID-19. This is USA Radio News. As coronavirus cases surge again nationwide, the Supreme Court late Wednesday barred New York from enforcing certain limits on attendance at churches and synagogues. From the Ohio Valley USA Radio News Bureau, Dan Naraki has the story.
New York won't be able to enforce a COVID-19 restriction on houses of worship after the Supreme Court issued an injunction late Wednesday. By a 5-4 vote, the court issued an opinion that called the coronavirus restrictions a violation of religious freedom, because the orders singled out churches and synagogues, while businesses that were deemed essential were allowed to operate with few restrictions. The state of New York had tried to put 10- and 25-person occupancy limits on houses of worship, leading to the suit from the Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn and Agadoth Israel. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
In response to the ruling, President Donald Trump tweeted out, "Happy Thanksgiving." Trump has repeatedly pushed back against shutdown measures to curb the spread of the virus. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Pond to London, North London to be specific, and we're going to have a conversation with such an interesting man who's written a book called Eternal Book of Poems. And you know how I feel about poetry? My father passed away when I was 8, and he was a poet. So I've always had an interest in poetry and the fascination of who writes it and how you get your ideas. And also I've, you know, tried my hand at a few of them as well. So it's fun on this show to bring that to you, because I think it's inspirational. I think it makes you feel good when you read something and you let it kind of fill you up depending on what the subject of the poem is. So without further ado, Peter Pavlou joins us. And again, his book is Eternal Book of Poems. Peter, thanks for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Kate. It's, yeah, I'm very happy to be on here.
So you and I talked off the air, and you told me that you have been writing poetry for at least 10 years. What do you think it was that kicked in that had you decide, you know what, I like poetry?
Well, okay, in late 2004, I believe it was late November or December of 2004, I was trying to write a short story, and I had a middle part. Sorry, I had the beginning of the short story, I had the ending, but I didn't have a middle part. You know, there was no real story. I had the characters, And I think I had something called writer's block. And, you know, I got frustrated. And after a while, I just stopped. You know, I put the pen and paper down. And I just sat there for a while. And, you know, just out of the blue, I just decided, hey, let me just write a poem, you know. And I wrote one poem, and I thought, okay, this is interesting. And then I decided to write another poem. And I looked at both poems, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'm onto something here. And that's how it actually started, you know, just out of the blue, just like that. And as the years went on, I decided to write different types of poetry on other people's experiences, my life experiences. And, carried it on from there. And after each year, it became easier for me to write.
So with the poetry, and you said that there's different types of poetry, and there's different styles of poetry, too, as well, but the subject can be conflict, and it can be love, and so many other things. What's your favorite kind of poem to write?
I think it would be something of a nature of love, you know, love or relationships. I do like all the poems that I've written in the book, but the romantic ones, the ones about love, they would definitely be my favorite.
So you and I also mentioned, we're talking about this, like you have influences, and you gave me a great example. What, besides your poetry, what would be your favorite love poem?
Favorite love poem? It's called, the title is called A Thousand Kisses Deep, by Leonard Cohen. And it's a great poem. And he was a great artist. And that's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think it's a classic. But I think the reason I asked you that and you told me that is because so many people have taken that and used it in different ways and have put it to music and set scenes with it. And it is a classic. There's no question about it. And that made me think of the title of your book was brilliant, Eternal Book of Poems, because they are eternal, right?
Yeah, poetry is eternal. You know, words, meaning, stories, they are forever, you know, because everybody has an idea. Everybody's inspired by something. And, you know, I just put it to good use. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to prove to myself that I could publish a book and express myself, through poetry.
When you got this published, what did that feel like for you? Because you had collected these different poems that you put together, and so it's a you know, really a block of your life and your work. What did that feel like?
Well, I felt like it was a great accomplishment for me. You know, I achieved something in my life, and I wanted to prove a point to myself that you know, that I could do it. That I could, you know, write a book and become an author.
And you did it, so bravo. Congratulations on that. So many people talk about doing books, but yet it's really a small percentage that actually follow through.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, for me, there was, it took time, you know, it took time for me to do this. I had to find the publisher, then the front cover, back cover, and manuscript, copyright, all sorts of things that I had to do. And, you know, I took my time and stayed focused. And, yeah, as I said, you know, I was proud of my achievement once it was done.
What do you hope people take away from reading Eternal Book of Poems?
Oh, that is a good question. I would say that, you know, I hope people get inspired by this. You know, I hope people... It would make people happy. You know, they could send a gift like this, a book like this, to their friends, partners, whoever that may be. And, you know, to always have poetry and poems in their hearts, you know. For me, it was a way of expressing myself and, I hope that, you know, people will enjoy this book.
When you went to, and I'm curious about this, you know, when you went to put this together and organize it, and, you know, you list everything from, you know, whether it's Warm and Tender, Last Chance, Last Time, Search for One, My Final Heaven. Do you have a favorite poem that you've written?
You know what? I had a feeling you was going to ask me that question. And that is a good question. My Final Heaven is definitely up there. To Die in Brazil, I would say I might have a top five. Search for the One. I think mostly they're the romantic poems. But for me to pick a number one favorite, it's a tough one. Perhaps I would say probably My Final Heaven, and second would probably be Warm and Tender. So it'll probably be the first two that I wrote down.
So My Final Heaven, tell us about that. What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, I was just trying to visualize something, you know, because sometimes I can get ideas from movies. So it could be from a thriller, could be from a drama. And it's just something that I would just use to the best of my ability. Just, you know, so it's not from, it's not a real story. My Final Heaven. It's not from a real story. It's just I'm trying to imagine a scenario. And sometimes when I watch movies, I can come up with ideas. And sometimes when I listen to people in their life experiences, I can put that towards pen and paper as well. So I guess I'm a deep thinker. You know, when it's time to really think deeply, I don't know. I think I have a knack for that.
Yeah, and you also won an award for Editor's Choice Award for Outstanding Achievement in Poetry from Poetry.com, and that was about 15 years ago. So that's an accomplishment because it's pretty competitive.
Oh, definitely. I was on Poetry.com. I had had a few poems in 2005. I placed, I think, one or two of my poems. And then, within a few weeks, I received an award. And, I was surprised. And it was a great achievement for me.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on pulling that together. And again, the way that you weave your magic with the poetry, I think, is absolutely something special. And you can go to Amazon.com to get Peter's book, Eternal Book of Poems. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, Kate. And, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure to hear from you.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. 9 in 10 homebuyers are motivated to purchase their first home, while 4 in 5 say saving for a home is a priority, according to new homebuyer insights from Bank of America. This motivation is encouraging because homeownership can help families create a legacy and build long-term wealth, making it easier to achieve their life goals. However, many would-be buyers say that expensive home prices, high rent costs, and student loans impact their ability to save. A.J. Barkley, Senior Vice President, Neighborhood Lending at Bank of America.
We understand that becoming a homeowner can be as challenging as it is exciting. While many prospective homebuyers can afford monthly mortgage payments, saving for the upfront costs may make homeownership seem out of reach. We have low down payment mortgages as well as down payment grants and closing cost grants, which are helping eligible homebuyers break down these barriers so they can afford a home of their very own.
To learn more, visit www.bankofamerica.com/homeowner.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Corner, Misty Long is with us. She's written a book called My Fight for Survival, and her story is about what we are the challenge of life, what we're all trying to do, but also what happens, it's deeper than that, when life throws you absolutely very tough curveballs, and what do you do when you're in that situation? So Misty, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What made you write the book?
I wanted to help people, and I wasn't sure how I could do that. I'm a single mom at the time when I thought about it. I'm married now, but I have a hard time being able to get into school. So instead of being a therapist, I figured if I wrote a book, it would reach people further.
Yeah, so tell us your plight, your journey, and what you survived.
Well, it started from childhood. I had a lot of struggles with being separated from my father at a very young age and my mother. I had my mother leave and then come back in 2 years. She grabbed me from my dad. I did not see him again for 14 years. I had problems with my stepdad, who became less and less of a dad to me and saw me more as a grown woman as I got older, and he would do things he should not. As I got older, I had more problems with grown men dealing with me and trying to deal with that. I graduated high school at 18, and then I moved to Virginia from Wisconsin. I got pregnant very early, right after I got out of school, so I got stuck in Virginia. But I had two, and I married the father. It didn't work out. He was abusive, mentally and physically, and we both were to each other. I got into drugs when I separated him, and I separated from him because I had nowhere to go. I didn't want to leave my children, and I didn't want to take them from their dad, as was done to me. So I tried to stick it out, and I tried to survive and make it. But with no family and no friends, I wasn't sure what I should do. And I got stuck in a bad world around bad people who got me into heavy drugs. And it caused a couple of rapes because I was not careful. And I had gotten thrown in jail for a DUI. I lived in my car for 3 years. And I had a severe alcohol problem. And I got strung out on meth. And it was addicted to pills, and I did a couple of suicide attempts, and I was thrown into the hospital for that, and then I was thrown into counseling my whole life, and I never liked the counselors because I don't believe that they understand from a deep level what really is going on with people, and I would rather somebody who knows, so I would like to try to reach people who understand and are going through things that I have already gone through, and to let them know, you can make it through this. After my DUI, there was a godsend. There was a friend on my Facebook who I did not add, so I don't know how he was there. He helped me out. He brought me to church. He helped me get a place to live and a job. I got one child back. I got custody of one. And now I have two more little boys. I still struggle daily with depression. But I fight it, and I let myself know, I'm not where I was. But it was definitely a tough fight to get through, and I wasn't sure I would survive it, and my family definitely didn't think I was going to live.
Wow, so much that you have been through. I mean, not just one thing, but several really life-altering things that really could have taken most people down, including, you mentioned that, the suicide attempts, then ultimately, meth use, the wrong people, the DUI. And as you said, it's one day at a time. And do you think that's what people listening should overall take away from what they read about your life and how to survive life, that it is one day at a time?
It is one day at a time. It is not easy. Finding people that have gone through it is really important because at the time when you're going through it, those people, they definitely think that they're alone. And I want people to know you're not alone at all. There is people out there that have and are going through the same thing and that you can make it through.
Yeah, and for you, and as you said, the counseling and felt like they didn't understand at a deep level. What was the real breakthrough, though? When was it that, okay, yes, it's one day at a time. When did you know, okay, I'm going to survive. I have kids. I'm going to make this work. How did that happen? When did you know you no matter what kind of a day you had, you were going to get through it?
When I was in jail. When I got thrown in jail, I had nothing but time to sit there and think about what I was doing to myself, what I was doing to my family, what I could have done to somebody else's family, and I didn't know.
Wow. And writing this book, what was it like writing the book and going back and reliving some of the things that happened to you?
It took me a little while to write it because some of the things that are in that book I have never spoken, I've never written about. It took me a little while. It was really kind of hard. My husband didn't know about certain things, and he's not really wanting to read the book. And I understand that. But it took a long time and a lot of... It's still kind of hard to know that I've put it all out there. But if it can help somebody else, I would love to be able to do that.
Yeah, and that's what's so heartfelt about you. I knew that when I talked to you off the air that's what it's about. It's about connecting to other people because you know that there are people that are on this journey and they're being shuffled around. They're barely making it. People don't understand what's happened to them. And we're certainly sorry for the things that happened to you, but wow, that you're sharing this. And as you said, you couldn't become a therapist, didn't become a therapist, but in a way, here you are. This is a different way to reach out to so many people. And again, people are listening and to us right now in this conversation, And we're speaking with Misty Long, and the book is My Fight for Survival. Ultimately, what do you really, really hope people take away from this? Again, what is it that the nuggets that you offer that they can take away?
If I can offer anybody any kind of advice, it's instead of looking in your past about the things that have happened that are bad, try to look to your future about the exciting things that are to come. The bad things happen, and we have to learn how to get past them, but God only puts so much on us that we can handle.
There you go. I like that. There's only so much, and we get so much that we can handle. How do you feel now? As you said, you still deal with depression, but you mentioned, you know, children, a different kind of life than from the very beginning of this journey. What's it like for you now?
Yeah, it's still, you know, day by day. I do still struggle. I have anxiety and depression problems, but that's, you know, a day at a time still for me. And I just remind myself every day that I have a better life, that I'm not where I was, and God has helped me get to where I am. And I really fought to where I wanted to go in life, and I got there. I do have two more children that are twins. They're difficult, but I adore all my kids. I've got four. I did get remarried, and I bought a house. I have an amazing husband now who helps support me in this. He wants me to take this as far as I can take it because I want to bring this out as far as I can to help as many people as I can. And I'm very happy in my life.
Wow, that's great. It's a perfect place to end this, the amazing husband and the journey that you're taking. And do you think on this journey, as you describe some hard things to say out loud, to write in a book, has that helped you as well by releasing all of that?
It has. It actually has. It was really relieving to let that out, even on paper, to just write it out. I didn't think that this was going to go anywhere, and I figured if it didn't, at least I was able to write it down. And I did feel better. Not 100%, but it did help.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you were vulnerable and willing to do this, and, of course, to put your book out there, and I think this is imperative for so many people, because I know that there are people that are struggling with a lot of what you dealt with. The book is called My Fight for Survival. Misty Long, you can get it on Amazon. Misty, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. So, again, when people are willing to get in the arena to help other people and really talk about what happened to them from the time they were a child, and you heard what Misty had to deal with, abandonment issues, abuse issues, and all those struggles along the way, I mean, that would be enough to take any one of us down. And that's why I think her book is so significant, because it's real, it's raw, and it's honest. It's honesty that people who need to hear. And I love what she said about it's not about the past, it's about the future. Because it is about the future. So whatever you're struggling with, that is the, and she said that as one of the key things to hang on to for sure. All right, thanks so much to all of you for listening to the interview and also for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everyone.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.